from KQED.
This is Forum from KQED Public Radio. I'm Joshua Johnson, sitting in for Michael Krasny. America is going to need tens of thousands more doctors, especially primary care physicians, to meet our growing health needs. Medical schools like the University of California, Davis, are trying some new ways of filling that gap. UC Davis was one of 11 schools that won an innovation grant from the American Medical Association. The idea? Shorten medical school from 4 years to 3 with more hands-on education from day one. The program is called Accelerated Competency-Based Education in Primary Care, or ACE-PC. This year, UC Davis will welcome its first class of ACE-PC medical students under the new program. Let's learn more about it from Dr. Tanya Fancher. She's the director of ACE-PC at UC Davis. Dr. Fancher, good morning.
Good morning, Joshua. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Also joining us is Dr. Mark Henderson. He's the med school's associate dean for admissions and outreach. Together, the two of them are the co-principal investigators for this grant. Dr. Henderson, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Glad to have you with us. Dr. Fancher, explain to us how ACE-PC will work. If I got into UC Davis under this program, what's the first thing I might notice was different from how I thought med school was supposed to be?
So, Joshua, the first thing is that you would start earlier. So you start 6 weeks earlier than everyone else, and on your first day of med school, you have an exam.
Day one?
Day one.
What?
Yeah, day one.
I don't know that I want to go to this med school anymore. What's the point of the day one exam?
It's really to set the expectation that you come in with skills, right? And that we want to assess those skills as soon as you get here and know where we're starting and build from there.
So it's not really an exam. It's more like an assessment.
I call it an exam.
You want to strike the fear in them early.
I do.
What are you assessing for?
But, you know, the first thing we look at is their understanding of just the mechanics of an interview, right? So I have them watch a video, and then I have them basically transcribe that video, which is of a doctor and a patient, so that they can tell the story of an interview, right, just by watching it. Then later we get into how do you actually collect that information.
This is starting to sound a little more like journalism school than medical school. I think it speaks to the kind of variety of skills you're trying to build in doctors, not just anatomy and physiology and histology and so forth.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Joshua. But they're all there, right? They will do all of those too.
Dr. Henderson, what were you looking for in the students that you recruited for this program? Does it take a different kind of med school student to take this accelerated course?
I think, Joshua, absolutely we looked for a different, almost a more ambitious, you know, many doctors are ambitious, obviously, but because these students have to undergo a much more intense, really harder, to be honest, program, we had to choose them carefully, I think with evidence of both academic excellence, but also those skills that Dr. Fancher was alluded to that would allow them to interact ultimately with patients. That really has been, really is our focus. So they get a additional assessment in the interview process of their communication skills, ability to work with others. That's really, as you know, as anyone who goes to their doctor knows, they want someone who they can talk to, who listens to them, who has what I would call advanced communication skills. Yet, to be honest, in the medical school admissions process, that has been relatively underemphasized in terms of who we choose.
Yeah, there seems to have been more of a focus, and I've seen reporting on this over the years, less of a focus on the core subjects and on saving lives, although that's still part of it, and more of a focus on being able to be really an end-to-end provider of care, capital C care, in terms of listening, being empathetic, understanding social services, providing end-to-end services. That just seems to be the overall trend of medical school nationwide.
Well, providing that care is a complicated endeavor, as you know. I think one of the key issues, and maybe we will talk about this, is that our goal here was to enhance the primary care workforce, to produce more, and I will say better, I hope, primary care physicians. But you have to understand what discourages people from choosing that career currently. Only about 20% of medical school graduates opt for a primary care career currently, and that clearly is not enough to fill the shortage, if you will, the need for primary care physicians in this country and in our state of California.
Why do so few doctors choose primary care?
Well, I think there are several reasons. For a long time, and still I would say this is true, the salaries are lower than for specialist physicians. Debt has become an increasing problem for medical students. Average debt in the United States for medical students is somewhere between $150,000 and $200,000.
Student loan debt, you're
student
talking about.
Student loan debt, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, talking about. So there's a pressure to pay that back. And honestly, I'll say that I think, and you alluded to this, Joshua, the complexity and the burden of taking care of a patient from end to end, to use your terminology, is challenging. And sometimes health systems aren't set up to allow or to empower the primary care physician to do that in a way that is rewarding and doesn't drive them crazy in terms of, you know, overburden them. So I think they're intimidated by that, many students. It's intimidating. It's a big job. I mean, I think it's an important one, and one that is obviously a noble one and a very useful one, and one that society needs, particularly in California. So that, again, gets back to who you choose and how you choose them.
We're discussing a new program at UC Davis to finish med school faster with Drs. Mark Henderson and Tanya Fancher. Call us with your questions and thoughts, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Email us. The address is forum@kqed.org. You can also find us on Facebook or tweet us. We are at KQED Forum. Dr. Tanya Fancher, I have to admit, the first time I heard about this, I thought of that Holiday Inn Express commercial. Where the guy is finishing, you know what I'm talking about. The guy is finishing doing surgery. He takes off his mask, and the attending is like, or the assistant is like, "You're not really a doctor." And he says,
"No, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night."
Now, obviously, that's not what UC Davis is going to do. I get that. And I'm not trying to make that insinuation. But the idea, just viscerally, of having a doctor work on me who did not go through 4 or more years of education, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I mean, how do we know these students are not just cramming in the same amount of work into less time?
So I think, Joshua, we've obviously thought hard about that, and other places around the country have done that too.
And I am not comparing UC Davis to a Holiday Inn Express, for the record, for the record.
Okay. And you know, our expectations of the students are the same for four-year students, right? Really, what we have reduced in their time is these students, when they come in, they know what they want to do. And there's a good part of the final year of medical school that is spent exploring careers and exploring places for residency. So that's the big part that we've removed from the curriculum. So they get all of the anatomy. They get all of the histology. They get more patient care. You know, you had asked me earlier what would look different when you started at Davis. And the other piece that's different is in week two of medical school, you start in a clinic at Kaiser.
In week two?
In week two, yeah.
That's a lot faster than most medical schools. A lot of them, I don't think, put clinical rotations until, what, like year two, year three?
Yeah, they're usually in year three. And we don't send them in on their own, right? We really have thought about what are the skills that they have in week two and what's their knowledge and how do we build on that. But we want to build on the primary care piece, and what's critical to that is patient care, right, the end-to-end care that you talked about. So we want them to be able to experience that early on, have that continue through medical school. And Kaiser, it's a model health system for that. So they're a great partner.
Now, Dr. Fancher, part of your research focus, I understand, deals with medical education. I wonder, as a person who studies how we teach doctors, how much of this is in response to perhaps the way that doctors perceive their own educations? You know, if you have someone who's raring to go, they know exactly what they want to do, they're fired up about doing X, Y, or Z as doctors, but they have to go through this very conventional, long 4-year program. I wonder how much of this just has to do with making the program work for ambitious doctors who know what they want to just kind of dive in from day one.
I think that's exactly right. Right? It's not for everyone, like you say, but it's for those students who know what they want to do. And I think if in talking to doctors, and you know, even in my own experience of medical school, which in my fourth year, I worked two jobs as a fourth-year medical student, right? It just the rigor wasn't really it's not nearly the same.
Wait. You worked two jobs outside of medicine?
Yeah. In my fourth year.
Now I have to know, what were the jobs?
Okay, so I worked at the Gap, and then I worked in a bar.
You worked at the Gap while you were going to medical school?
I did, you know?
You weren't worried about losing focus on your studies or...
No, I really don't think that it had a negative impact on my studies.
Even for you, maybe a three-year accelerator program would have been a good thing. The Gap would have lost out, but you would have gotten where you wanted to go faster.
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think I would jump in here, Joshua, and say that what the point that Tanya makes there is that the fourth year of medical school is often not very rigorous. It takes several months for students to go around the country and interview at a variety of different places and explore different residencies. And sometimes they go overseas for a rotation or they do a research project. There are many things that I think can, or our thesis is that there are things that could be cut out of the fourth year, significant amounts of time for those individuals who are, if you will, declared a major in primary care, let's say. That just shows you how much time wiggle room there is, I think.
Dr. Henderson, paint us a picture of the state of medical education today. How big is the need for primary care physicians in the U.S., and how big is the pipeline to produce more of them?
So the need, estimates vary, but I think most experts predict a shortage of between 40 and 50,000 primary care physicians by 2025, so over the next decade, 40 to 50,000. What, in order to fill that shortfall, every medical school would have to graduate 50% of its students, I should say, have 50% of its graduates go into primary care to fill that shortage. Now, as I alluded to earlier, only 20% currently go into primary care. So there's a huge need. And UC Davis, while I love this program, I think it's a great start. There will be have to be many other parts of the solution to the primary care workforce shortage than one program or one school.
All right, we've got some great calls on the line. Let's dive in with Frank in Mill Valley. Frank, good morning.
Good morning. Quick, sort of a two-piece. You've got a pre-select for your class so that they've all declared for primary care, or at least as a major. But this is before they walk into med school. Are you concerned that the learning process is normally the way that the students kind of feel their way around, and they pick up things from other doctors, and they decide on where they want to go in med school? Are you concerned you're going to have a higher-than-normal fallout rate because they've, in effect, selected blind? And if so, what are you doing about it?
Good question, Frank. Dr. Henderson, what do you think of that?
I think that's an excellent – it's a concern of ours, the attrition, if you will. So in the selection process for these students, we've emphasized actually they've had to have on-the-ground experience in primary care. So these students are a bit older than a traditional medical student, and they've had work experience in the field of primary care, either as a medical assistant or perhaps working as part of a primary care practice. That's really been a part of our selection criteria. So we hope that they know what they're getting into. But I think Frank's concern is a valid one. They may find something else that inspires them in the process of medical school. And we'll have to deal with that. But I hope that we've chosen a group that the majority of them stick with primary care. That's our expectation anyway.
Let's take another call now. Richard in Kingsport, Tennessee. Richard, good morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy it very much. I just wanted to say that I graduated from medical school 40 years ago. In fact, this weekend we're headed to Memphis for my 40th medical school graduation. And our medical school was 3 years. This is not a new concept. It was actually 39 months because we have 3 months off for it to do an externship. But it's not a new concept at all. That was 40 years ago.
Where did you go to medical school, sir?
The University of Tennessee in Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah.
And was this just the way the program was structured for everybody, or was it did you elect to go 3 years?
It was structured that way for everybody.
For everybody.
But I also want to say this, that, you know, medical school is undergraduate medical education. Doctors, including primary care doctors, are actually made in residency. And while we have a three-year school, actually 39 months, if you want to shorten the program, you need to shorten the residency. That would probably be the best thing to do.
Right.
Well, Richard, thanks for the call. Let's go to, or actually, go ahead, Dr. Hanson.
No, Richard makes a great point in that, and we should have mentioned this earlier, Joshua, is that our program is not just a 3-year undergraduate or medical school program. It's actually better conceived as a 6-year primary care training program, meaning they do spend 3 years in medical school, but they are also automatically accepted into a residency program at the same time here at UC Davis or at Kaiser Permanente. So it's a 6-year primary care training program that these students have been accepted into. And he's right that the majority of the training, not the majority, but a large part of the important work is done during residency training.
I'm glad you brought that up for those who are concerned, like me, about the 4-year to 3-year thing. I mean, there have been accelerated med school programs for quite some time. I remember when I was thinking about going into medical school before I went to something steady like journalism, I was considering a 5-year MD-PhD yes. program, accelerated, and that was like in the late 90s. So this concept is definitely not new. Let's go to another call now. Jessica in San Mateo. Jessica, good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind, Jessica?
I've had some great primary care providers, nurse practitioners, and I'm just curious to hear the opinion of the staff on what they believe the role of nurse practitioners will be in the primary care setting and how this training differs and what direction we're going in primary care.
Good question. Dr. Tanya Fancher, could you take that one on?
Sure. I'll start and I'll let Mark add on if he wants to. I think nurse practitioners and PAs are critical to primary care, absolutely. And if we're going to solve this primary care crisis, it's going to have to be with all of us. And I think as far as the differences between the training, there's differences in terms of time and probably in depth of experience as well. But I would say that we're all in it together.
Let's take an email comment. Joseph writes, imagine where the IT industry today would be if we allowed the AMA to dictate the education and certification of IT specialists. Many nations produce competent medical doctors with only 4 years of training beyond high school. To reduce costs yet maintain good medical outcomes, we need more doctors with less training. Dr. Fancher, what do you make of that?
Well, I certainly agree with the more doctors piece of it. And I think it's it's less training, Joshua. I think it's more tailored training, right? So let's get rid of the pieces that are not not helping to grow the sort of care that we need.
Maria writes on Facebook, begin the pre-med track in high school. I think that makes a little sense. I remember I went to high school with some kids who were on a pre-med, like a magnet program. Dr. Henderson, what role do those programs play now in terms of starting really, really early?
Well, Joshua, there are a number of shortened undergraduate programs that track directly into medical school. We call these are BS/MD programs that range from 6 to 7 years total. And I think they are part of the solution if you can, for those unique individuals who have the motivation and the dedication to know they want to be a physician early on. And I think that the idea, the concept that we might shorten the undergraduate education is a great one, something that we are thinking about. If this, we'll call it an experiment, works, I think we ought to be considering just what you mentioned, which is shortening the undergraduate program. If we can find those individuals that have the competencies that are required for primary care, and I would hearken back to each of your own experiences with your primary care physicians. What are those qualities that you want to have in that person? And a lot of them are around communication, and I think those skills can be taught. Some of them can be taught, but many think that, I don't want to say you're born with them, but you learn them very early on in life. So I do think that the pipeline, the high school idea, is one that is interesting to me.
Yes, those skills like communication and interviewing are definitely skills you can learn. I can attest to that. Let's talk to Kim in Pacifica. Kim, good morning.
Hi, I have a quick question. One is that I understand that they are having students go with Kaiser, right? At what point are they allowing students to go to Kaiser? Did I hear something like the first year or the first month?
Dr. Fancher, you did say that they're kind of diving into their clinical piece very early, right?
I did. And Kim, they actually will start at Kaiser in week 2. So they're shadowing a doctor and understanding the roles of the different team members at Kaiser. So they'll work with a nurse and the MA. They'll sit at the front desk, really to just get a sense of what happens in primary care. And then as they develop the skills and the knowledge to start to interview patients or to examine patients, that certainly comes later.
Okay, and I think that's a great idea. Here's my question. In a perfect world, I would never have to ask this question, but if you've ever been in a hospital, you know it's not a perfect world. What happens if you have that second week student there and the primary doctor is not there? Is it possible that that second week student is going to be looking at a patient face-to-face and not having a clue?
No, so we wouldn't let that happen. They're always there with a physician.
And that's part of it. And at what point would they actually be allowed to start doing more clinical rotation with a little more arm's length supervision?
Right, not until they've acquired more medical knowledge, so not until probably into the second year.
Okay. So this is not just a program, to be clear. This is not just a program to kind of say, hey, we know you want to be a primary care physician, go try it out. You're actually, they're still going to get the same amount of education so they can be duly board certified once they finish medical school.
That's correct.
Because that would rebound badly to UC Davis in terms of turning out doctors who aren't qualified, to say the very least.
I think you have to understand a little bit about the structure of medical education. Typically, what you have is 2 years of, I'm going to call it book learning, anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, followed by 2 years of patient learning, or learning by practicing medicine under the supervision of more seasoned clinicians. What we're doing here is introducing that clinical experience very early on, but it's in small doses throughout the first year, the second year, in a primary care practice that we think is a very highly functioning one, and that's the Kaiser Permanente system. And so, but these students are supervised 100% of the time.
It sounds a little bit like you're going the way that that conservatories go, where you get your artistic training and your performance training at the same time.
Great analogy, Joshua. And I think that helps. To me, when I think of medical school, when I learned anatomy and physiology, at some points I was thinking to myself, well, what does this have to do with being a doctor? And it really, I mean, I think that we want to show them what being a doctor is like. I think that will actually make them learning the science, it'll enhance that learning of the sciences.
I am kind of stunned to hear you say that, because I figured that everyone who goes to medical school understands, yes, I have to learn anatomy to know where things in the body are, and I have to learn physiology to learn how the body works, and pathology to learn what happens when things go wrong. But from what you're saying, it seems like it's easier for a med school student's mind to drift and start wondering, okay, when do I actually get to start learning how to be a doctor?
That was certainly my experience, and that when Tanya and I kind of formulated this proposal to the AMA, we had that in mind, that end product, if you will, could be a driver, a motivator, something that would enhance their learning and make it more real, honestly real, less abstract.
Let's go to a few online comments. Summer wrote on Facebook, less educated, trained primary MDs? No, I have yet to find one that I will go to today. They're so general, they aren't credible to me. Less training for MDs is a disaster for patients. David writes via email, if the primary issue of not having enough primary care doctors is low pay, won't the market sort this out over time? As there are fewer primary care docs, pay will go up. Dr. Fancher, does that sound like something that you think might happen?
The pay piece?
Yeah, you know, fewer doctors,
the
pay goes up, they are more sought after. That may not be great for those of us who have to pay for primary care, but might that not equalize the problem?
I think that is coming, and I think it's sort of slow to come, but it's a critical piece of the problem. I guess my concern is it's just not coming fast enough to sort out the problem.
Gotcha. All right. Well, our time is very limited. Let's see if we can squeeze in maybe two more calls, starting with Bill in Stockton. Bill, good morning.
Hi. I understand the economy in Europe is tanked, and a lot of doctors have been laid off or they're retired. Why can't UC Davis have a short course and train these guys for the American market?
Dr. Henderson?
I think that is a is a possibility. It's a little complicated with, our state, honestly, and our state medical board has quite a few restrictions on who trains in California. In fact, we did not discuss this, but Dr. Fancher had to lobby for a change in the actual statute of California to allow these students to even obtain their MD. So I think it's a reasonable idea. I think there would be a lot of hurdles that we would have to jump through to execute on an idea like that.
Let's go back to the phones with Judy in Sonoma. Judy, good morning.
Good morning. I'm a physician myself. I graduated 15 years ago from medical school, and I'm very much in support of this program. I myself knew I wanted to be an OBGYN at the end of third year. I felt that fourth year was kind of a waste of my education. But one thing it did provide me was sort of a calm before the storm, before the most sort of physically, emotionally, intellectually intense time of my life. And so I'm wondering if there is some consideration about the wellness of these students, and I think that will translate into wellness for their patients, because physicians really have to walk the walk if they're going to be good providers and teach people how to take care of themselves.
Right. Dr. Fancher, why don't you take that question as we're running out of time?
Yeah, Judy, absolutely. Wellness is critical through all of this. So we are very mindful of that and have programs in place to keep an eye on them, right, and allow for some decompression as needed.
Well, this is going to be an interesting program to see how this rolls out. Congratulations on getting the innovation grant. Dr. Tanya Fancher is the director of ACE-PC at UC Davis. Dr. Fancher, all the best with the program, and thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
And Dr. Mark Henderson is the Associate Dean for Admissions and Outreach at the UC Davis School of Medicine. Dr. Henderson, thank you.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Laubert. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. We get online support from David Marks. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our interns are Leslie Chang, Kathy Shield, Hannah Kingsley Ma, Charlie Zaharoff, Eric Nygaard, and Kaylin Dakin. I'm Joshua Johnson, in for Michael Krasny. Thank you so much for listening. This is Forum from KQED Public Radio.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.